In a year dominated by Russian collusion and Brexit confusion, the book of the year returns with another dose of barely believable yet wholly unimpeachable facts and stories from the past 12 months. Every week for the past 4 years, Dan, James, Anna and Andy, the creators of the award-winning chart-topping comedy podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish, have wowed each other and millions of their listeners with the most astonishing trivia they have learned over the previous 7 days. Now, once again, they have put down the microphones, picked up their pencils, and transforms a year's worth of weird and wonderful happenings into one uplifting book that you shouldn't be able to put down this festive season. The book of the year is out now. I'm delighted to be speaking to Andy Hunter-Murray, one of the co-authors. Andy, good morning to you.
Good morning.
It's that time of year again, isn't it, when we look back and we look at the great and the good and the frankly unbelievable of the past 12 months.
Exactly, and the ridiculous and the implausible and all of this. So yeah, we spend all our time reading newspapers and reading books and reading, you know, finding out everything that's everything we can, and then we've got so much excess left over after we've recorded the podcast that we put together a book which has the year's news, and it's meant to be quite a cheerful book, I should say. So, you know, we're trying to point out that there's a lot of wonderful and bizarre and, you know, hilarious stuff going on in the news, as well as all the doom and gloom.
I mean, do you think it's been a particularly good news for the weird and the wonderful and the head scratching?
Has the year had particularly good news?
Yeah, and has it been a good year for the news that makes you go, really?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's amazing. Whenever you look, you just find more and more strange stuff. So I'm trying to think of a good example. We found out this year Egypt had an election, and the only candidates in it were the president and a man who is a vocal supporter of the president. He had run a whole campaign before saying how wonderful he thought the president was, and he was quickly put up as a candidate because otherwise it would have been a one-horse race, which would have been embarrassing. But unfortunately, his whole record was saying how great he thought the president was. So the president won.
Well, I mean, there's quite a few in here that caught my mind. I mean, and ones that, you know, and I, you know, do dabble a bit in radio, as the listeners will let you know. Yeah. But some of them have passed me by, and especially the World Cup and the Peruvian mummies.
Oh, Peruvian mummies. Was that the smuggling?
I think it was indeed, yes.
Yeah. Oh, good. You're testing my knowledge of the book now. Some of this happened as far ago as...
I mean, we had that one. We got NASA sending a man to space with a fear of heights. We've got an ice hotel in Canada catching fire, and we've got Mark Zuckerberg's private data compromised. Well, he's talking to Congress about compromised data.
It was very funny. He left his left all his information on his table in front of him. Went out for a break, and some enterprising photographer popped in, snapped all of his private preparation session, and then spread them around the internet. So that was nice for Zuckerberg to get a taste of his own medicine. I love the man who went to the International Space Station with fear of heights. He's very sweet. His name is Andrew Stoll, and he clarified that it's not too bad when you're 70. He said it's more when you're on a ladder. He's very sweet. And then we found out, you always find out other stuff off the back of that. So we found out that there's a band who, NASA has a band of astronauts, who are all current or former astronauts, but they have a rotating lineup because they're not all guaranteed to be on Earth at the same time.
Well, you mean like a rock band, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sorry, they have a musical ensemble. And they sometimes do gigs in space as well, but they don't have a drum up there, so they have to use an improvised drum, which is a large metal container containing all of their feces. So that's the drum when they're in space.
It's a little early for that one, but I was going to think of the problems of trying to hit a snare drum in zero gravity. But if you've got a drum full of your own, you know what, of your own number twos, then I think that you know. So I mean, is it literally a case of you do the podcast or you prepare for the podcast and you literally pour over? I was going to say pour over the papers, but I suppose you know with the word and the wonderful, and if it's not being hacked by Zuckerberg allegedly, Facebook, and into the social media thing. I mean, how do you sort through the tsunami of weirdness and can't believe it?
Well, it's strange. There are these facts that I think the facts that we really love are the ones that you can't help but telling your colleagues. So, you know, we all share an office here, and we're all finding out facts for the TV show a lot of the time. And if you just have to lean over to someone else and say, did you know that false beards have just been banned in Copenhagen, which happened this year, then you know that's probably a fact that you should be using somewhere.
That one passed me by. I didn't care, and I've got lots of Danish friends. Why exactly were false beards banned in Copenhagen?
Well, it was a sort of knock-on effect. I think there's a kind of political move to ban, you know, religious clothing, or hijabs and things like that, or niqabs. And so they said, well, we've got to be fair and consistent. So I suppose if they're banning face coverings, we'd better ban false beards too. So it's unintended consequences legally for all sorts of things, you know. And they clarified that if it's extremely cold, you can wear a balaclava. But, they hadn't really thought that one through.
Couldn't they have gone the whole hog and just basically banned man buns as well and just hipsters generally?
I mean, we live in wait for the first jurisdiction to be brave enough to ban the man bun. But whenever it happens, I'm moving there.
And also, you know, in a year that's given us another 12 months of President Trump, were there any particular... I mean, I know there was one of him saying that he was selling... Was it F-52 planes to Norway?
Yes, that's right. He claimed that he was selling F-52 planes, that America had had a wonderful year of trade. It turns out there is no plane called the F-52, apart from in the computer game Call of Duty. So it's a bit of a hint as to what he might have been spending his time doing. Yeah, Trump is tricky because, you know, people are so exhausted of hearing about him, and he was quite funny, and now the joke is, you know, wearing quite thin. So we have managed to find some, you know, some decent things about him. We found out this year that he was threatened by a swamp. You know, he ran on the slogan, drain the swamp.
Yeah.
It turns out that a swamp has kind of opened up a sinkhole on the north lawn of the White House this year, which is someone trying to tell us something, I think. There is now an actual swamp outside the White House, which is threatening to swallow the whole place up.
When you started to do the podcast and put the book together, did you think you were going to get such a great reaction? And is it, you know, like I said, do you now get members of the great listening public sending in their own weird and wonderful stuff?
Yes, absolutely. And we love it when they do. People send in really good and really strange facts all the time. And the other great thing is that when we do live shows quite a lot, and we get a lot of people who come to the shows who are experts in things. So you might be reading out a fact about sea cucumbers, and you might pronounce it slightly wrong, and it turns out there will be a sea cucumber expert in the audience who immediately shouts out the right way of saying it. So you get very friendly, supportive heckles, basically. It's not like the usual heckles of get off or whatever it is. It's normally, I think it was the Mesopotamians who did that, and that kind of thing.
Oh, that's nothing like a Mesopotamian heckle to bring you down to earth, is there? Let's face it.
Exactly, yeah. Because we know that we've been finding out about these things all week, each week, but we know that, obviously, we've only scratched the surface, and there are a lot of real experts out there who can put us right. Yeah.
So, I mean, when it comes down to it, what were your favourites? I mean, I'm not going to give away all the secrets of the book, but... What was your favorite? I mean, the very thought that Elon Musk has got a flamethrower that can send flames 10 foot, and he said it's not a flamethrower. It's quite good. I mean, that's one way of clearing your garden of snow, I suppose. But what were your weirdest favorite story? Was there a royal wedding weirdness story? Was it another Trump story? What was your favorite and weirdest story of the book of the year?
All right, well, I did really like this one, which is that Sweden is running out of bank robbers because most banks no longer have anything to rob. So there used to be a lot of bank robberies in Sweden, and there were a lot of cash heists and things like this. And then Sweden has been going completely cashless. And these days, cash, just 2% of all transactions are in cash. So half of the country's banks have no cash in them at all. And as a result, there are no more bank robbers. There were only about 11 last year in the whole of the country. But unfortunately, this has had a knock-on effect where people are stealing other valuable things. So now there's a booming market in orchid smuggling and rare owl theft.
I've just got these, you know, come on, Sven, we can't do that. We can't case the joint anymore. Let's go and grab a couple of, let's go and hit the florists.
Grab some rare owls. I mean, it's such a... Yeah, I really like that kind of story where it's, you know, there are all these, as I say, unintended consequences, knock-on effects of things happening all over the world. And it's just a treat to be able to you know, to find out more about them and sometimes write to people and say, look, what's going on in Sweden? What does I hear about orchid smuggling?
I've got this wonderful image now of the Swedish equivalent of G4 or whatever, dropping off a bunch of orchids under armed guard.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. And we have a fabulous cartoonist on the book. He's called Adam Dalsby, and he's illustrated lots of the news stories and, you know, these beautiful little drawings all the way through. So that really adds to it. And we love seeing what he does with what we've, you know, what we've found. We find the facts and then he draws them in a surprising way.
As well as doing this podcast, which is over 200 episodes, and congratulations on that, by the way, I mean, you guys are also, and you've put this great book together, which is hilarious. And unfortunately, it's arrived in the studio and there were people fighting each other for a copy of it. And I have it on my hot little hands, but I'm not allowed. I'm being watched through the production window so that I don't take it with me, honestly. But also, you're also researchers for QI. I mean, this sounds like the perfect job.
It is. I mean, we get to come into work every day and just find out the most interesting stuff we've ever found out. And, you know, we're currently researching the Q series of QI, so we're researching quarrels and quacks and quills and queens and, you know, Qatar and you name it. Oh, there's a Qatar story in the book. Do you want to hear that?
Please, I'd love to hear a Qatar story.
So the Qatar story, Qatar's under blockade at the moment because they're having a huge row with Saudi Arabia. This year, Saudi Arabia announced plans to cut off Qatar, because Qatar's only got one land border with Saudi Arabia, and the rest of it is the Arabian Gulf. So Saudi Arabia are so annoyed by the Qataris, they've said, we're going to cut along the entire 65-kilometer border, an enormous trench, and we're going to turn Qatar into an island against its will. And they are currently planning this and tendering and, you know, hiring bulldozers and things like this. So you get a lot of, you know, weird geopolitics happening and weird rows between countries.
I'm just
a lot of that as well.
Doesn't Cornwall have the same thing in the UK? I think they've cut themselves off from the UK for the past whatever years as well. And I'm sure Scotland would probably like to do that as well.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. The book is called, strangely enough, The Book of the Year 2018, Your Definitive Guide to the World's Weirdest News. It's out now. You can get it in, as I'm holding it in my hands. That was the book dropping on the desk. Hold it in my hands. And you can also get it on e-book, and you'll be able to get it as well through the TRE virtual bookstore. It's out now by Random House. If people want to find out more about you or listen to the excellent podcast or just generally find out what you're up to, where can they find you on the interweb thingy?
If you look for No Such Thing as a Fish, you will find, as you say, 250 episodes, and there are live shows. We're touring all over the place, and everything is there. NoSuchThingAsAFish.com.
And just a quick one, why No Such Thing as a Fish, please?
It's a question we ran in the H series of QI. Basically, it turns out that technically, biologically, this is in the Oxford Encyclopedia of Underwater Life. This is real.
I never miss a copy. I've got one here as we speak, obviously.
Well, there you are. Yeah, page one. So it, basically, all the things that swim in the sea are so different from each other biologically and taxonomically that it makes no sense to call them a fish. Humans are more closely related to salmon than salmon are to sturgeon.
I presume you're talking about the fish rather than Nicola, yeah?
We are, yeah.
Well, that's a jaw-dropping one, so there you go. Okay, the book is called...
I know,
The book is called... I can't follow that, the fact that we're more related to salmon, especially in our Scandinavian listeners who are preparing Gravelax as we speak. The book is called The Book of the Year 2018, Your Definitive Guide to the World's Weirdest News. It's out now by Random House Books. And Andy Hunty Murray, have a great Christmas. Enjoy the rest of the year. And I'm sure we'll speak next year about The Book of the Year 2019.
I hope so. Thanks so much.